everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I am happy to be here. If you're listening live, it is the 13th of May at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that we're over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. And if you want to watch rather than listen, you can do that by heading over to Facebook or YouTube. Look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and you'll find the live stream. That's what's going on. Want to welcome my chatters. It looks cold here. It is cold here. Yeah, it's rainy and overcast and icky. Yeah, it's spring. We have gorgeous days. It was so gorgeous on Saturday. So gorgeous. And so we hosted our family's Mother's Day brunch this year. And so I was like, well, hey, it's gorgeous. We should just plan on doing something in the yard. And so we got all set up and ready. And then it rained on us the whole time. Off and on. I mean, we could have got in the house, but we set up some awnings instead. And it was still beautiful. But, you know, it's definitely, you can't forget to bear in mind that it is an Idaho spring here, and that's real up and down, but it was good. The kids all came home for Mother's Day, and the thing I had asked for was to just come and do my flower beds, help me clean up the front yard, just, you know, help Scott with some things in the yard that needed to be done, just, like, help us get our yard ready for the year, and they did, which was great, so I should have taken some pictures, but all of my containers are planted. I took my little bee bowl out there. It looks so cute. And planted a brand new bush, Russian sage, that the bees really love. Yeah, so lots and lots of good stuff. Yeah. Thank you, Quelly. It's good to see you all. I hope everyone is well. How did this full moon, how did this full moon work for you guys? Just wondering. It's been kind of an interesting one. That new moon was kind of a meanie, and so I've wondered how the full moon was going to sit. But it was an interesting, it's been interesting for us. Lack of sleep, you know, that's kind of how the full moon hits around here. But last night, Matea's dog refused to sleep with her, which is so weird. But he was just charged up and couldn't go to bed and finally ended up in our bed for the night, which honestly, I don't think that's ever happened, especially with him. He's very devoted to his mom. She can't even go to the bathroom without letting him come in or he has a fit. So the fact that Buddha decided he had to sleep with us was pretty wild. The topic of the magazine today, or the magazine, and also the show, was ancient Irish lore. I've been reading a bunch of Irish books, like ancient Irish tales and novels and stuff recently. And it got me thinking a lot about all of their little people, all of their, what they would maybe call the good folk or the Tuatha or lots of other things. But and I'm by no means an expert, obviously. But I've been doing a lot of reading and researching, and I thought it would be fun to put together a show that was about ancient Irish little people, or ancient Irish elementals is a better way to phrase it. So any of you guys that feel really drawn to Irish lore, or just to Ireland, or even to like ancient British Isles, you may feel really drawn to this one. So I thought this would be a fun study for all of us. Good to see you guys all here. So let's take a look. So I called it the Ancient Irish Magic Edition here on the show and in Luminous, because that's what we're talking about. This is the kind of stuff that absolutely sings to my heart. And I know a lot of you guys feel the same, that you are all drawn to certain time periods or eras or, you know, historical time, things like that. And so this may draw to your heart a lot. Suzanne says this Celtic girl loves the topic, right? Absolutely. All right, well, let's get into it. So in ancient Irish lore, there was a lot of the natural world. That's pretty much all of the lore, right? Elemental beings. What are elementals? Well, you might have referred to elementals as the fae, in different cultures or different beliefs, maybe fairies, trolls, goblins, hobgoblins, Selkies, nymphs, lots of things, right? So we're going to talk about it though from the ancient Irish draw today. So starting with the earth elements. The earth elements would be associated with stones, hills, burial mounds, and fertility. So we have the, I want to pronounce these correctly. I looked them up to be sure. The Ishi. The Ishi are associated with mounds. They are a race of otherworldly beings tied to the land itself. They dwell beneath the earth in hollow hills and ancient burrows. They might not really be earth elementals, but they're guardians of the land and its power. I organized us into elementals because I feel like in doing so, that gives us an opportunity to kind of just organize it in our brains, because that's how we see things typically, more in like New Age spirituality. So that's kind of how I put it together. But so we have the earth elementals, leprechauns and cluricaunes. You know, there's been a lot of lore over leprechauns and cluricaunes. My dad's brothers. My dad has a set of twins. His oldest brothers are a set of twins. And, they're close to their 80s now. But they're these little guys. They're not very tall. They are barely taller than me. So, meaning they're around 5'2", 5'3". And they had, now they're all white, but they used to have red hair and red beards. So you got these little teeny dudes with red hair and red beards. And one time, my cousin Natalie, her daughter Courtney, is the same age as Mars, and they went to school together, to grade school together. And so at one time we were at a school event, a recital or whatever of some sort. And my uncle Garen was there, of course, to see his granddaughter Courtney. And one of the little girls said, "Oh, your grandpa! He looks just like a leprechaun." And you know what? He did. Not anymore though. Now he's a, well, he's a white leprechaun, I guess. He's gone all white, but he used to look just apparently like a leprechaun. Okay. So leprechauns. There's again been a lot of folklore, a lot of different names for them too, but they are earthbound. They're seen as cobblers or treasure keepers. They represent the hidden wealth of the land, like gold and other things. And then the Bnakh. These are phantom beings said to haunt battlefields, often rising from earth and mist. They carry an underworldly energy. Air elements, of course, are associated with wind, inspiration, imbus, prophecy, and the unseen. We have, let's see, I did put there. We have Ane, Amaku. Ane and Maku. These are goddesses who sometimes appear through air and light. Ane as a summer spirit of the light, and Maku with prophetic powers. The fairy winds, that would be a sudden gust of wind that came up out of nowhere. They were believed to be the Siddhe traveling or moving through the land. And to experience something like that could be seen as an omen or a sign. And then the whispering spirits. Winds that carried voices or songs were thought to be communications from the other world. I am sure that you could consider that you have heard wind that sounded like there was voices in it. Right? When I was a little girl, I would go to my grandma's house to visit up at the base of the Grand Teton mountain range, and it was very windy there. Just honestly, the wind was always blowing, whether it was winter and it was a cold wind, or it was summer and it was a hot wind. The wind there just never stops. And I can remember as a kid hearing voices in the wind, especially up there. And maybe it's just because the wind blew more there, but I understand that feeling. I'm sure a lot of you do as well. Was I hoping to have a set of ginger twins? No. However, from those two twins, there were four more sets of twins born from their grandchildren. None of their kids had twins, but they have had grandkids that have had twins over and over and over again. Yeah. Lots of twins in this family, but more on that side. Am I feeling okay? No. I'm okay. Yes, I'm feeling okay. I'm just worn out. The weekend really took a lot out of me. But I'm essentially, yes, Lillianne, I am okay. Thank you for asking. The fire elementals, the goddess Brigide, the goddess of the hearth, smithcraft, and poetry. I can say that Brigide or Bridget, people say it both ways, has been a goddess that has been really close to my heart always. The closest figure to a fire elemental in Irish myth, you know, other ancient beliefs and beliefs in general have a lot of different fire beings or fire elementals. It's Brigid. Her sacred flame was kept burning at Kildare by her priestesses. Dragons or serpents. Though not as prevalent as in other mythologies, we hear about dragons a lot in others. Fiery serpents or worms sometimes appear in early texts as a symbol of power or guardianship. Balor of the Evil Eye, a monstrous Fomorian with a deadly eye that could destroy with fiery force. His destructive gaze could be interpreted as an embodiment of fiery chaos. I think, yeah, I don't want to fight him. Okay, water elementals, associated with lakes, rivers, healing, and the passage to the other world. We have Selkies. Selkies were shapeshifters that could be seals in water and humans on land, or sometimes half of both. They were often involved in tragic love stories. There's a lot of Selkies in Scottish lore as well, but you'll see them also in some Irish, like, coastal legends. Kelpie-type beings. Kelpies are water horses that lured people into the lakes or the sea with deadly consequences. River goddesses. Many rivers are named after goddesses or female spirits. You have the River Bone, Shannon, deities that governed the life-giving and magical properties of water. I think all water should be named after a goddess, don't you? I like that. The Merrows. These are the Irish merfolk with red caps and green hair, said to live beneath the sea. Female merrows were often benevolent, while males were wilder and less human. You know. Essentially, the merfolk, as in other belief systems, right? Yeah. Okay. And then we have the Tuatha De Danann. These are the mythical gods of Ireland. They wielded all of the elemental forces and later descended into the land as Éosi. They represent the quintessence, divine, timeless energy. The Tuatha De Danann, you'll hear about in lots of Irish lore as sometimes as benevolent and helping humans, and sometimes as mischievous and tripping humans up in various ways, testing humans, giving humans all different kinds of like quests and challenges and things that they had to overcome in order to get the thing they needed and stuff like that. But the Tuatha are a huge part of ancient lore in Ireland. The banshees, misunderstood as ghosts, they're more accurately seen as otherworldly messengers or guardians of ancestral portals. They don't fit neatly into one element. Yeah, they exist between realms, and the idea of banshees is seen in a lot of different cultures. Though not always under the same name, of course. And then the Anima Mundi. This is the idea that the land has a consciousness, a soul, and that the land speaks through spirits and beings. All right, so I put together a spell. If you'd like to do something like this to connect to these sorts of elementals, you can. You can do so wherever you are, so don't worry if you're not, in the land, in that aisles, it doesn't matter. You can connect in any, anywhere you are. Let's not let where you are be a barrier, right? So the purpose, the spell is whispers to the Cité, a call to the elemental kin. And many of you feel very, very drawn to these beings. I know you do. I know I do. And I'm seeing you guys in the chat. I've been hearing this for years. This is where a lot of many of us, our ancestry lies, and not just ancestry, but perhaps past lives. But your soul may be speaking to you here. So, the purpose of this spell is to respectfully open a line of connection with the elemental spirits of Irish tradition from earth, air, fire, water, and spirit for seeking guidance, inspiration, or just a sense of deeper communion with the other world. For me, it's more that, right? Just the opportunity to connect. That's where it's at for me. So, here's what you're going to need: a small bowl of fresh water. Stream, rain, or spring is ideal, but if it comes straight from your tap, so be it. Like, let's not make this too hard. A stone or a bit of soil. A feather or something else that moves in the breeze. So, if you don't have a feather, consider a bit of ribbon or something like that that could blow in the breeze. A candle, preferably white, green, or gold, but again, don't limit yourself. If you have something else, then use something else. That's fine. A small bell chime or your own voice. An offering, milk, honey, bread, wildflowers, something else that's biodegradable. In my tips this week, I have a huge list of offerings, and we'll talk about offerings more, but something like that. A tiny bit. We're talking about a tiny bit. Don't be pouring out a gallon of milk. In this economy? I'm kidding. Okay, here's the spell. So you're going to create your circle first. So sit in a quiet space, ideally outdoors if you can, or near natural light if that's what you got. Lay out your four items before you in a circle or small altar, representing earth with the stone or the soil. Feather with the air, or air with the feather, sorry, fire with your candle, and water with your water bowl. So the first thing you want to do is center yourself. Move slow. Make sure you've turned off your phone. Just stay super present in work like this. That's really the key. Take a few deep breaths and close your eyes and speak or say in your heart, I call not with command, but with reverence. Spirit of land, sky, flame, and tide, from hollow hill, from rushing stream, I greet you now with heart open wide. And then light your candle. And as you light it, we'll honor Brigid. Flame of Brigid, spark divine, ignite my will, and cleanse my mind. And then you're going to touch each elemental item. So you'll hold them or hover your hands over them. Over earth, stone and soil, ancient and wise, guardian of roots, I honor your ties. Of air, whispering winds and voices unseen, lift my thoughts where you have been. Of fire, dancing blaze both fierce and kind, burn away what clouds my mind. Of water, flowing depths, soft and clear, wash me in truth, draw the spirits near. And then, of course, your offering. Place your offering in nature or beside your altar if you need to, and say or speak or speak into your heart. To those who walk between the worlds, I leave this gift with humble grace. If you would speak or guide or guard, I welcome you in this sacred space. This is a great way, by the way, to welcome elemental beings to your yard, or to your property, or to your area. Then ring the bell or speak loudly. This opens the channel. Then listen and be still. This is a great time to just pause for a little while and meditate or rest, daydream. Just let the world shift around you. Again, try not to be in a hurry to do this work. Just give yourself a chance to really be present with it and be quiet. And then to close the spell, thank them aloud, whether you sense them or not. Say something like, "With love and awe, I now release spirits of elements, go in peace." And anything else that comes to your heart, anything that you want to say or express. Extinguish the candle and pour the water onto the earth. And so it is. This is a great spell to perform during twilight or dawn, because that's when you'll find elemental activity most prevalent. Though you could do it whenever. You don't have to, if those times just don't work for you for whatever reason, don't let that preclude you from doing the work. You can keep a journal nearby to write impressions or insights if you choose to. And you can repeat the spell over time to build relationship and trust. I think that you will find in doing this spell or something like it that you have, altered or written to your own preferences, that you just feel more connected to the physical earth and more connected to the spiritual earth. Many of us feel going through life like there's just a lot going on around us that you may or may not see. Hey, Laura. And you may feel like there are little beings around you that you maybe don't see, but you feel or you experience in some way. This is a great way to deepen your connection to them and to acknowledge them. Kelly's article this week is Feminist Rage Fatigue, Living Through Our Own Handmaid's Tale. Great, great article. Loved it, Kelly. Okay, offerings for the good folk. This is an important piece. I feel like this is useful. Many traditions have a practice of leaving some kind of an offering. For example, you might see some traditions that leave a bit of salt or a bit of tobacco or another kind of herb. That's really common to leave some kind of flower or herb as an offering. It was an offering to who? Well, maybe those that you don't see. But the idea is when you are out and about in nature, when you experience something, otherworldly, or when you want to just thank the earth and those who tread it for all of the beauty, you'll know, right? Hey, Patricia, you'll know what speaks to your heart. So here's a good list of potential offerings for the good folk. A small piece of homemade bread or bannock, it's like a bun. Milk or cream, especially left in a shallow dish. Butter, often is just spread on stones. A drizzle of honey. A bite of cake or sweet biscuit. Again, we're talking about the tiniest bit. A thimbleful of mead, ale, or whiskey. Crushed berries or fruit slices. Fresh herbs like thyme, mint, or lavender. Natural offerings could be a small bouquet of wildflowers, never plucked from fairy rings. What's a fairy ring? Well, fairy rings can be any ring that you see in nature that is creating a naturally round shape. It could be out of flowers, it could be out of mushrooms. I mean, there's a whole mushroom here in the States that's called fairy ring mushrooms for that reason, because they grow in a ring. They're just little magical spaces in the land. So if you see what seems to be a fairy ring, again, whether it's out of stones or out of mushrooms or out of flowers or any other natural occurrence, don't take anything from inside of that. Let it be. It might not be for you. Shells, smooth stones, or crystals. A sprinkling of dried rose petals or calendula. Moss, acorns, or feathers found on a walk. A tiny woven grass or twig charm, something that you made. A handmade leaf or flower crown. Creative offerings. These show intention and effort, which the good folk may value. When you are making an offering, you're sharing something of your own. Either your time, your effort, a belonging, food. An offering is meant to be a tiny bit of a sacrifice, right? It's sharing what you have. A few lines of poetry, song, or music played aloud. A drawing or sigil made just for them. A knot of thread or ribbon, especially green, blue, or gold. Beads or buttons. A small handmade token like a clay symbol or a sewn heart. A brief whispered story or praise. Magical offerings if you're trying to work more ritualistically with the other world. A piece of silver jewelry or coin that you're going to leave, not come and take. Fairy stones. Fairy stones are whole stones that have natural holes in them. A lot of times you'll find stones like this along certain beaches or other areas where rivers and bodies of water that have worn stones down over time and managed to place holes in them. Some areas have a lot of fairy stones and others have absolutely none ever. So you'll have to keep your eye out. A vial of moon water or rainwater blessed under the full moon. A lighted candle, which of course you would never start a forest fire, right? Right? You wouldn't do that. A tiny mirror to reflect light and beauty. A written promise or vow to honor nature or an act of kindness. A few notes. Don't ever offer anything made from iron or steel. The good folk don't like that. Offerings should be simple and sincere. Always ask for permission before leaving an offering on a sacred land or trees. Say a word of thanks and respect, even a simple, "I offer this in goodwill." Always, if you're leaving an offering, make clear that it's an offering. Okay. Christy's energy exercise this week is inner peace. Probably a good one for all of us. Okay, True Crime Squad. I talked last week a little bit about our opportunity to interview Eva Pilgrim. Eva Pilgrim is with 2020, and she has just launched a new podcast about the Holly Bobo murder. And we had an opportunity to have her on our show and interview her, and it was a really cool experience. It was fun. So I did, link it here so that you guys can go and watch it if you choose to. But that was a pretty cool experience to have Eva on the show and get to chat with her. And then, oh gosh, our big story last night was about One Taste. Are you familiar with the One Taste company? You may be. This is one of those companies, and I think it's important that we talk about this in the New Age world because this is certainly not the first time that you have seriously fraudulent bullshit happening. People tapping into various kinds of spirituality and creating some perverse bullshit out of it that they're using to scam people, abuse people, and the like. So the owner of One Taste and her CFO basically started a cult around One Taste, and unfortunately, it resulted in an incredible amount of sexual abuse and sexual assault of their employees. One of the things that they taught in One Taste is a form of meditation that they called orgasmic meditation. It's a 15-minute meditation that involves simulation, and which isn't a crime. And if people are practicing things like that in a spiritual way, more power to you. I don't care. But unfortunately, these ladies cared a whole lot more about what money they were making and the amount of control they had over people than they did about people. And they're now probably going to both go to prison for a while for the things that they've done. But I just think it's important. I mean, we saw this with the Hatha yoga guy, John of God. Oh my hell. I don't know if you guys know. We used to hear a lot about John of God as a healer, right? As it turned out, John of God was a sexual predator and a sex trafficker. And others that took advantage of spirituality, particularly more New Age type spirituality, in a way to take serious advantage of other people. Be careful. Always do your due diligence. And guys, if it looks like a cult, it probably is a cult. So be super, super, super careful. Kev, you didn't know that about John of God? Yeah, John of God's in prison forever. Yeah. Yeah, John of God turned out to be a super bad guy. Yeah. Oh, JR, I'm so sorry to hear that. JR said in late January to late April, I've been in the hospital. I was on a vent. Now I'm learning to walk and talk again. Today I hit a milestone with assistance. I walked for the first time. Well, congratulations, my friend. I'm so sorry you've been going through that. I'm going to hold the energy high with you that we'll just see one milestone after another. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you do some research, the John of God, it's kind of hard because this all happened in Brazil, in a tiny, tiny village in Brazil. And so a lot of the research I've done on John of God, you have to find Brazilian articles and then run them through a translator. A lot of sites will just translate for you if you ask now. There's a spot to do it. But so there's a lot to piece together there. But yeah. And what people are saying about John of God is that it goes a lot deeper than what he was actually convicted for. That there was a whole village of young women that he and some other, let's quote unquote, investors were basically forcing to become pregnant and then selling their babies, and that part of his enterprise never really was busted. Is it true or not? I don't know, but I read multiple articles about it, so yep. Yeah, a lot of people promoted him, and a lot of people went to see him. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. Well, JR, I'm glad you're okay. I'm so sorry you went through that. I know. I promoted him. I had a stone that was blessed by him that a friend who went to see John of God brought home for me. A couple of stones, actually. Yeah. Turns out, nope, he was a creep. Okay, lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. If you need some meditation music, Or just, some peace here and there. That's a good way to do it. And there you have it with Luminous this week. Right? Good times. Yeah. It's just a warning for everyone to be discerning, right? Be discerning. Laura has a beautiful necklace blessed by him. Yeah. I took the stones that I had that were blessed by him and I put them in a singing bowl and I just cleared them really, really well. And then I blessed them myself. I figured that would be the best way because I didn't want to get rid of them. And it's not the crystal's fault that he's a piece of shit. And it's not mine either. So that's how I treated my stuff. But you can decide. Yeah, Oprah promoted him too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people did. And a lot of famous people like went to see him and had healings from him and stuff. So, and of course, along the way, there were certainly other people that were trying to debunk his work and call him a quack and stuff. And I mean, it's understandable. I mean, you'll always see both sides of, belief on things like this, but super disappointing that he turned out to be such a jackass. Yeah. Right, Laura? Yeah, that's what I recommend. Bless it yourself. Clear it and bless it yourself. Well, JR, we're going to all keep holding space that a little walking turns into a little more walking that just continues to push you forward. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to jump in the other chat room quick. Oh, Chris said, I recently found out that my maternal great-great-grandmother was of Scottish Irish descent. I'm hoping to find her portrait. Oh, that would be amazing, Chris. Yeah. Love it. Oh, thank you, Jane, for posting that. Okay. Well, it's certainly. Yeah. Right? What about my hidden cult? I promise I will never ask you for your life savings. I will not. That's where it gets dicey. With the One Taste ladies, they were making their employees. They had all these employees who had to live on site in one of their communes, had to be available 24/7 for any reason, and also had to pay for the right to be there. So they were receiving paychecks that they were basically just turning around and giving right back to the One Taste people because they were expected to pay for most everything while they were living there, working basically 24/7. And some of the people at the commune, you paid their membership fee of $60,000 a year in order to benefit from just being at the commune, and they worked just as hard. Everyone paid for the privilege, apparently, to be there working for these fools. Yeah. Big ick. Jane has Irish Scottish on her mom's side. I love it. Me too, on my mom and my dad's side. Yeah. So we've got about 15 minutes. Kev's in the wrong hustle. Maybe not. Actually, and while we're talking about that, let's talk about a little bit more predatory behavior so that you guys are very aware of it. And I think this is probably not stuff you haven't heard before, but the industry I work in has fraud. It's true. The industry most of us work in has fraud. So let's be real. It's certainly not just the new age industry in any sense, but how do you know? Well, I'll give you a few ideas. Recently, somebody cloned my Facebook page, and they started messaging my Facebook friends, saying that I wanted to offer them a free reading. It wasn't me, obviously, and I think most of my friends realized it wasn't me super quick, and they messaged me. They messaged Facebook, like we dealt with it, right? Sort of. I mean, Facebook was like, we don't think they're breaking the rules. And I'm like, really? Because yes, they are. But the way that goes. But beyond that, some things that healers and readers should never do. Healers and readers should never approach you and say things like, I was thinking about you and it realized, you came through in a meditation and I know that something terrible is going to happen. So you need to come and have a reading with me. Yes, that happens all the time. It's fraud. You can only work with me because if you're working with anybody else, something terrible is going to happen. No, that is fraud. You can only work with me because if I find out you're working with somebody else, all of the work I've done on your behalf, I will pull back. Yeah, it happens. In my meditations, I had a dream that something terrible was going to happen to one of your children. You need to come in here and bring me X amount of dollars, or you need to message me X amount of dollars so that I can do some kind of work or a spell or something that will offset that. Yeah, that happens. How's about this one? Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. Is there something wrong? Is there a reason you're not contacting me? Are you not taking good care of yourself? Maybe it's time to come and have a reading or a tune-up. Not okay. Not okay. Maybe a generalized email that's a reminder, hey, if it's been a while, let's talk. Okay, that's fine. But specifically hunting you down, calling you out, trying to prey on what they know about you? Not okay. Never okay. As a reader, my job is to be available for you to come to me. I have to have faith and belief and confidence enough to know that if you need me, you're going to come see me. You're going to call me. You're going to message me. You're going to seek me out, right? That's all. That's my whole job. It is not my job to hunt you down, to give you unsolicited advice and readings, or try to frighten you into coming to talk to me for a reading. That I will never do. That I should never do, and no reader should do. Perhaps once in a while, somebody you've worked with a lot might follow up with you and just say, hey, wondered how you are. Maybe just a general question. Probably nothing wrong with that. You got to understand, those of us that have worked with some of you guys for years and years and years, we care about you. We do. We care about your kids and your pets and your story. And we do wonder about you from time to time. So maybe somebody will inquire in a friendly way. I don't see anything wrong with that per se. But if you ever feel like you are being tricked or manipulated or frightened into paying for something, the answer is no fucking way, right? No way. Absolutely not. That's the answer. And I say this to you guys because I care about you and because I know that this stuff is swirling out about there. You know that even here on this show, occasionally we get trolls in the chat room that start trying to hit you up, saying, I have a strong message for you. Years ago, when we had Healing Hands, somebody called on the phone. This man, he had a strong Indian accent. He told me he was in India. I don't know where he was. He said he was in India. He said that he got my phone number from a dream and that he had a message that he had to deliver to me and that he needed me to make an appointment and he needed my credit card. He was acting like he was in a panic. He was frantic. He was yelling. He was loud. He was aggressive. I felt like he was trying to put me into a panic. And I immediately thought, this is bullshit. This is fraud. And I said, no, thank you. Not interested. This isn't how I do things. And then he started hammering me about, would I defy God, because it was God who told him to call me, and it was God who told him that I had to have this message immediately. And who would I be to defy God? And I immediately thought that this guy's idea of God and mine were definitely leagues apart. But when I said no and said I wasn't interested in his message and that I most flatly was not turning over my credit card number, he got super aggressive and angry and accusatory. And eventually I had to hang up on him and he called back two more times. I don't know why he thought he was going to seal the deal with me, but that's how scary they can get. That's how aggressive they can get. Guys, it's fraud. Yes, JR, when they use religion against you. Absolutely. Jane said, "Hope you replied. God's telling me to tell you to take your meds. Turn it back on him." He finally stopped calling. But it was the aggressive way that he was coming at me was terrifying. And I could see how people might just finally just maybe just give up their debit card, maybe just kind of go with it for lack of better way to combat that or out of fear. Ooh, Chris said years ago I was part of a group that was threatening to kick me out unless I got therapy from one of them. F them. Yep, absolutely. That's fraud. Yep. Trish said my son calls them back and tells them and their fam that they and their families are going to rot in hell, and they get so scared, and then he calls them back every few seconds all day for several days. Oh, good Lord. Now that's commitment. Yeah. But yes, certainly in every industry there's fraud. And in this one, there's no exception to that. So, just a reminder to be safe and protect yourselves. It's one of the things that I really like about the way Click4Advisor, who is the financial arm of One2Listen. If you have a One2Listen account, you know that you actually set up an account through a company called Click4Advisor. They are the ones who do the money side, which is really super cool for me because as a reader and as a professional psychic, I don't want to do the money. I really don't. I love that somebody else does that. I just get to focus on my job, period. And that's out of my hands. I like that our cost isn't in my hands too, because I'm bad at that. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not. I'm not good at that. So, because obviously, if you're working in this industry, so such as I am, well, you have to get paid. If I could do my job for free all day, every day, my God, I would, because I love what I do. But I also have to pay my bills, right? I also have to be able to pay for insurance and pay make a house payment, and well, these dogs aren't going to feed themselves, right? Absolutely. So I like it, but this is what I like about Click4Advisor. Click4Advisor is very, very careful with your money. And if you've noticed, those of you that have an account, you know that you have to very specifically move a certain amount of money, whatever you choose to, from your bank account to your Click4Advisor account to be used. And then if you're out of money and you want to add more, you have to go through the process of doing so. And it is a bit tedious. And there's a reason for that. It's so that we're sure that this is what you want to do. It's so that your money stays safe and that you are staying grounded and with good intention when you make those financial moves. Because we want to make sure you're safe. We want to make sure your money's safe. We've always wanted to be in integrity, and that's the goal. That's one of the things I really like about Click4 is that they are very careful with your money, and they should be. They should be very careful with your money. When you're calling us over at One2Listen, you're putting a lot of trust in us. And one thing we don't want to do ever is to defy that trust in any way. And part of that, of course, is making sure that we are very careful and clean with your money. And that's why Click4 covers it and takes care of it, and they do a great job. So that's important to me, very important to me. Sky-clad cleansings are to be approached with caution, indeed. Yes. If ever you are encountering a spiritual practice where you're asked to take off your clothes, only do that if you're really comfortable doing that. And no shade or shame. You know, there's tantra stuff, there's sky-clad work, there's other things like that that if you're comfortable and you like what you're doing, great. However, if you're not, don't do it. Don't let yourself get pushed into doing something you don't want to do. And as with every walk of life, if a person in so-called or perceived authority asks you to do something that you're not comfortable with doing, do not do it. Walk away. Nobody gets to have that much authority over you. Nobody. And of course, it goes without saying, but people do fall into things like this sometimes, and it's often people that you might not think would. If somebody's asking you to give them an outrageous amount of money, no. No. Mega churches do this. I noticed recently that the Mormon Church is asking people that if they don't have anyone worthy to receive their estate, that they should just will it to the church. Every cult everywhere ends up with quite wealthy people as a part of the cult who have given hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. Be extremely cautious about any kind of organization that's asking for that. Extremely cautious. Yeah, I can't say enough about all of that. But I think every once in a while it's just good for us to have a conversation like this and just stay a little grounded and realize that not everybody has your best interest at heart. So watch for safety features, watch for people that feel safe. Do not fall for fear and hysteria. Those are easy ones to get people involved, right? If I can make you scared, I can probably make you compliant. Sad but true. Years ago, my mom and dad and I decided to join LA Weight Loss. It was the big deal at the time, kind of like Weight Watchers, only a different program, right? And LA Weight Loss, they had their eating plans that you could do, and it was a bi-weekly weigh-in and check-in with your food journal. And then they had all of these prepared prepackaged foods that you could buy. And I never did that part because I felt like just eating real food was probably more beneficial. But after I did LA Weight Loss for a while, I joined a group of women online that were all doing LA Weight Loss in different parts of the world, you know. And we would it was just a support group essentially. It wasn't an LA weight loss group. It was just a weight loss site that had lots of different forums. And a girl joined the group that had previously worked at LA Weight Loss and said, that she really believed in their eating system, but she felt like all of the extremely expensive supplements and bars and shakes and stuff were really unnecessary and actually were really high in carbs and probably would waylay your success. And so you'd keep coming back. But she said that the thing that put her over the edge and the reason she quit working there was that in a training, it was explained to them that you should try to get people to be emotional and to share all of their horror stories about being fat because, in their words, a crier is a buyer. A crier is a buyer. And that has really stuck with me over the years. So you're saying that if you can create some kind of intense emotion in me, I'm a lot more money or a lot more likely to open up my wallet for you. You think about that in the scope of a lot of different industries, right? If we can create a severe emotional reaction in you, you're probably going to be more likely to spend your money with us. Wow. A crier as a buyer has been in my head ever since that thought. I think to me it's a great litmus test of whether something is legit or if it isn't. Now, to be fair, I make people cry sometimes. because we do talk about emotional things. My husband's told me before, he thinks I'm a professional. Professionally, I create tears or something, you know, like that. I don't mean to. I don't want to. But, you know, we talk about death a lot around here and a lot of other things that are really sensitive and precious to our hearts. I get that. But if you're talking about somebody you've never talked to before or met to before or met before, and they immediately want to draw emotion out of you that's that intense and also want a piece of your money, I don't know. Maybe don't. The crier's a buyer. Ooh, what a sad way to take advantage of each other. Humans kind of suck sometimes, you know? Just bear it in mind. That's what I have today. Don't forget, I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com, and you can find me over there literally every day. If you need me and I'm not there, just do a callback request or do a scheduled call, and I'll get a text that lets me know that you are waiting on me, and I'll do what I can to get back to the lines for you as soon as I can. But I am there every day. I can give you a reading, some energy work. I do a ton of energy work at 12listen, animal communication, mediumship. However I can help you, I am more than happy to do so. If it's important to you, it's important to me. That's one thing I hear from people sometimes. I feel so stupid calling asking this, or this is a dumb question. No, it's not. If it's important to you, it's important to me, period. If it's important enough to you to be calling me, to put in that effort, to be paying for it, to speak with me, then it's important to me too. Because obviously, it's important to you. So don't ever feel like something is silly or minuscule. It isn't. We are all walking this path together, but we're all on a little different one. So obviously, what's an emergency to one person might not be to another, but that doesn't matter, right? But I'll be here if you need me, either way. So I should be back here next week, same place, same time. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being a part of my path. If you do, engage in the spell that I gave you today, I would love to hear how it goes. And you know, maybe consider having a little bit of something in your pocket to make an offering when you're out here and there. I know I'm going to do that more. I used to do that a lot. Kind of fell out of it. It's coming back. Thanks so much for being here, guys. This has been yet another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.